At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
So let me break this down and give it an application for you, if I may. The biggest problem here is they have misconceptions about what justice is. First thing is this: whether you're the Levite or the old man, all right, justice means I get it. I get justice. I get, in our world, my needs are met, you protect my rights. That's when justice takes place. But that's one side. One of the guys said, wait a minute, I have the right to life and liberty. I don't want you to take my life, so here, take theirs. For them, they felt totally justified. Get up. That's how you're the one that threw her out? You know, if you read it, and he went inside and slept. How do you sleep on that? You know what I'm saying? How do you go to sleep when you narc on your Jewish friends in Berlin in 1938? That type of thing. So that's an analogy we might relate to. Okay, we have this idea is when it's for me, then that's justice. Until you go to court and the judge upholds your speeding ticket. Well, our system just doesn't work. There's no justice. Well, if the judge would have sided with you, you would have called that justice. That kind of thing. No, justice doesn't depend on which side you're on. Supposedly the blind with the scales, right? The other thing they forgot is this. They did this. They thought that to prevent one injustice, it was okay to do injustice to someone else. I have my right to protest, so you're in the way, I could punch you in the face. No, it don't work that way. You don't do justice for yourself and cause someone else injustice. Let me put it to you another way. Because she didn't choose to get pregnant, you know what I mean by that, therefore she should have the right to abortion. Because an injustice was done to one, we could fix that with another injustice. Okay? Since the Benjamites did this, killing a bunch of them makes up for that. That's not the way justice works. Now, there is this point of you should be a voice to those who have no voice. The concubine had no voice. In their culture, she didn't have the right to speak unless being spoken to. And I think there, in Scripture, it talks about a lot about the justice being given to the poor, being given to the widow, being given to the orphan. Those in that culture that didn't have a voice, or they probably didn't have somebody sitting at the city gate as a judge. And so our founding fathers tried to solve that problem by you set before a jury of your peers. The problem is typically they're not my peers. I'm going to be honest. If I sat before a jury today, most of them probably don't have the worldview I do. Don't live like I do. Okay? But that's the idea of it. And people like the concubine never had somebody sitting at the city gate to judge. So, or the widow, or the orphan. And so the Bible does talk to us to be the voice for justice for those who have no voice, even if it's in the womb. But that also includes the poor that may not. Now, in our culture, that's a little rough, because if all of Nampa was under the poverty level, we still have senators and representatives that represent us. Okay? So in that sense, in our culture, they do have a voice in that sense. But the question is, does that person from the housing projects calls the senators or Republicans office, do they get a voice? Or if I'm a big corporate donor and I call, do I get a voice? That's injustice, folks. And the Bible actually talks about that. True justice is you don't take a bribe. It doesn't matter how much somebody gives. Now, we all know human nature. And this is why you see some wanting to cut down on how much people can give politicians and all that. But there's always a way around it. The other misconception is this. Benjamin, the tribe, thinks justice is permissiveness. Well, it's their life. That's how they want to choose it. You know, and I want people to leave me alone in my life, so it's just fair if I just leave it alone. It should have been the tribe of Benjamin that performed the justice. It was their people that sit at the city gates. They're the ones that should have made sure justice was done in this case. But you know what? That's just your private life. You know what goes on over there at that house? That's their business. This idea of justice is some weird form of acceptance of everything. Okay, so we can't be the Benjamites and, well, yeah, sin sort of run amok, but I got my own little life to live, and it's a free country after all. Come on, that's what we hear about homosexuality. The Bible straight out calls it sin, Old Testament, New Testament. Jesus even addresses it. If you don't know it, if you want to know how, send me an email, I'll tell you where Jesus addresses it. For us to sit and go, well, they're nice people. You're right, they are nice people. Well, you know, they're good neighbors, that may be. But sin is still sin. And I do an injustice by not speaking up about it. Remember what he said, consider this and speak. Next misconception. The 11 tribes think because they're standing on the side of right, they can deal out justice how they want. Vigilantism. Don't work that way. Didn't work that way, and Bible does, doesn't work that way today. So when we get to Judges 20, and you see the people of Israel go up before the Lord, okay? And the people of Israel, verse 18, rose up and went to Bethel and required of God, who shall go first and fight against the people of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. Why should Judah go up first? Where was the concubine born? Bethlehem, Judea. Judah should have been the one to protect her from the get-go. And there's more to it than that. But don't worry, we'll get there. So the next day, they go off to fight. Israel loses 18,000 of those 400,000, or 22,000 of those 400,000. Notice they didn't ask God this when they went that first time. Should we go up? Notice they didn't ask that question. They already determined what justice was. They just wanted to know who gets to inflict it first. So they go back to the Lord, and the people of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until evening. They inquired of the Lord, shall we again draw near and fight against our brothers Benjamin? The Lord says, yeah, you can go up. So the next day they lose 18,000. So in 2 days they've lost 40,000 men. The other guys only have like 25, 28, and they've lost 40. Now listen to the last time now. All the sons of Israel and all the people went up and came to Bethel and wept. You can't have just some saying that's an injustice. Our culture as a whole, we should say it's an injustice. All of us should say it's being injustice when we see unborn children die. All of us should say it's an injustice when one child goes hungry. All of us should say it's an injustice when those who want to work and live can't. And they remained there before the Lord and fasted that day till evening, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, Aaron's son, so this is Aaron's grandson, stood before the ark to minister in those days. Shall I yet again go out to battle? Now, no, notice before, they went and asked God, who goes first? Should we go? But now they did it according to God's word. You're supposed to go to the priest. He's supposed to inquire of the God. And he has the ephod with the Urim and the Thummim. I ain't got time to take that apart. So they do it the way God says. Should we go up? Now listen to the difference. Go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hand. Verse 30. And Israel went up against the sons of Benjamin on the third day. And who was supposed to lead that? The lion of the tribe of... Okay, here's the point. First time, they just want to know, God, how do you want me to do? Can I do what I want? Who do you want to go first? Oh, I want this guy to go first. Do you want us to go? Yes. It doesn't tell the third day till they got a timetable on that. Yes, tomorrow go up. Oh, and tomorrow I'll give you the victory. Before it says, yeah. Make sure they live. Oh, yeah, I want you to go up. Doesn't say anything about timing. Doesn't say anything about victory. But when they go about it and do it God's way, now God speaks to them and gives them a direct timing and tells them the result. Too often, we go try it our way, and things come apart, and then we go run into a Christian brother, to a pastor. Ah, help, it's all messed up. And I'll go, did you go before the Lord first and do it His way? Well, you don't understand, Pastor. We needed a car. Yeah, but now that you paid $45,000 for one, and your car payment's more than your house, and you can't make ends meet, did you ask God about the car first? And don't tell me He told you to buy it with nothing down and make all those payments. I'll show you in Scripture where He says the opposite. And these guys got themselves in trouble. Finally, they decide to do it God's way, like Micah didn't do it God's way, like Dan didn't do it God's way, and it didn't go well. So now do we get to these 600 Benjamites are left? They're hiding in a rock. Remember, men run to a cave. Here's their other misconception. They think justice equals equality, or equity might be a better word. Wait a minute here. You know, to be fair, we need to find wives for these guys. Justice has nothing to do with equity. In the sense like that. Our idea sometimes in America is justice, is this, the person who isn't working, let's give them a bride. Justice does not mean equity in that sense. It means equity in the area of the law. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or whatever. But it does not mean you get the same thing I do. And I'll mess with you, parable of the sower. The Bible says if you don't understand the parable of the sower, you won't understand any of the parables. And one of the things you'll find in that statement and two other parables is the guy who has five, right, who gains to 10, and then you have the guy at the bottom has one, doesn't do anything. Where does the one go? The master takes it from the poor guy and gives it to the richest guy and says, because this guy's been faithful with much. Well, who has little will be taken from them and given to him and has much. That don't work in our culture. See, because equality or justice in that system is those who work hard and show themselves faithful, they get more. Those who don't work hard and don't show themselves faithful, they don't get more. Matter of fact, they'll probably lose what they have and it'll end up going to the other guy. That's a kingdom principle. It's in three parables. Justice is also this. You work, you receive. Sitting on your tush, Doesn't get you anything. So it's not equity. It's not, don't confuse the two in that sense. Jesus addressed the idea of justice. Well, the Bible does a lot of times, but it does. He addresses it in Matthew when he's talking to the Pharisees and talking to them about this. He says, "For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and neglected the weightier things of the law, like justice, mercy, and faithfulness." That's religion without justice. That's religion without mercy. That's religion without faithfulness. God condemns that. Christ himself condemns that. I want you to go back to that idea that we had in Romans. I'll just go back one. Okay, those words. Can you be righteous and unjust? See, many people want to make God a righteous God, but they want to make him an unjust one. Because if God's loving, right, he would never send anyone to. So you want a righteous God who is an unjust God? Even in the language, that don't work. Hebrew or Greek, that don't work. It's like the idea of belief or faith in the language. And Peter talks about, or James talks about this. When you said, "I believe," we think that, for our culture, that means there's something in my head. I believe this in my mind and my consciousness. In their culture, the word belief meant, I did it. I do it. I walk it. I live it. That's belief. Okay? And again, I'm not going to take that apart in language. But watch, we got a prophetic insight into what God does when there's no justice. You can read all of Isaiah 59. But for the sake of it here, I will read 14 through 16 in the English Standard Version. Justice is turned back. The righteousness stands far away. Notice the equate. Righteousness and justice are these words that are saying. It equates this. When justice is turned back, righteousness is far away. For the truth has stumbled in the public square, where judgments were often made, and uprightness cannot enter. All this began with injustice. Truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself prey. Follow me. No justice, no righteousness. There's no truth in the judgment seat, in the public square, in the public arena. Therefore, there is no truth. Truth is lacking because justice is lacking. So when we get into postmodernism today, that they say there are no absolute truths. How in the world do you have justice without absolute truth? I can't say to steal your car is wrong. That would be an absolute statement. I can't make an absolute statement. So therefore, we can't have justice because there's no absolute truth on right and wrong. And it says this, those who depart from you, who want to do good, become the prey. Not the prey this way, but prey as in, you know, a lion on a antelope or something, okay? And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no one to intercede. He sees injustice and says, there's no one to intercede. Let me put it in the book of Revelation. And there was a scroll, and I looked in all of heaven, and there wasn't anyone worthy to open the scroll. But then, a lamb looking as if he was slain, opened the scroll. I'm not taking that out of context. Watch. No one to intercede. Then his arm brought salvation, and his righteousness upheld them. Yeah, there's no justice in y'all, because there ain't one of you that's righteous to start with. So he himself brought the salvation. He himself, by his righteousness, upholds me. He becomes that mediator. Then we're going to go back to to what I just read in Romans at the beginning of this message. Verse 26 in particular, it was to show his justice at the present time, that he might be, now listen to the statement, the just justifier. The just justifier. Do you get that? He's the only just one, but as that, he also came and became your justifier. That's where we get to Isaiah 53. For surely, he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by God. How can we say he was smitten by God? Because it was God's justice being played out. It was his justness that became my justice. But he was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Please handle that correctly, hermeneutically. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. And made him who knew no sin, right, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become his righteousness, we might become the justice of God in him. Okay? God is a just judge. But when we, I think it's in Micah, what does God require of you? To what? Love justice, show mercy, and what's the live? Help me out. I don't remember it. Humbly before the Lord God, okay? Now, notice the last one. Love justice, mercy, humbly before God. Because when you put those first two together, you end up at humbly. Because when you recognize God is just and he gave you mercy, when you don't deserve it, you walk humbly. But it begins with the idea of the justice of God. The cross means nothing if God is not just. You can say God is love all you want. God is kind all you want. You can say all that. But if he isn't just, the cross was meaningless. It is his wrath poured onto our sin goes onto Christ, and his righteousness, or the justness of him, the right judgments he made, which were all of them, is now imputed to me, and God looks at me like if I've made every decision right. All that leads me to is a place of humility, not arrogance. So many people judge Christianity, but they, you people, you just think you're so special and you're so holy and you're so wonderful. You don't understand the gospel. Because the first part of the gospel is, I am a sinner who deserves God's punishment. How is that arrogant? Now, I'm going to tell you, and this is going to upset some people. Here's how why it's arrogant. One particular branch of Christianity says, yes, I'm a sinner who deserves punishment, but I was smart enough to choose Christ. You're not. Now, see, I don't believe that. I don't teach that. I don't think the Bible teaches that. It says, I'm a sinner. I deserve to be judged. And God, in his sovereignty, brought faith and grace and repentance to me. Where is their arrogance on my part? What did I do for that? Nothing. Well, why did God choose you over me? Because he's God and he gets to do that. Why did he pick Abraham? Because he's God and he got to do that. Why did he pick Joseph? Because he's God. Why did he pick Mary? Because he's God. Why did he? Because he's God. Okay, and you can read Romans chapter 9. How dare you? That doesn't seem fair to me. And here's what it says. How dare you, a man, tell God what's fair? Because it is my breath, or his breath in my lungs anyway. Did he owe me breath? Did he owe me life? Does he owe me a beautiful, wonderful family? Does he? No. All of that, everybody gets that. So even the person that ain't sitting in church today, you better thank God you're still breathing. You better thank God because he's still been kind and gracious to you when you didn't deserve it either. It's simply God sovereignly chooses to show his mercy to us, to give us the measure of faith to believe that his righteousness, his justness can be put on me. Well, when I say prayer over dinner, lunch today, I'll have a whole lot more to pray about than just food, than thanking him for the food. I'll be able to thank him for that amazing grace, that unending mercy, and his justice. When you pray, I want you to practice and pray when you're giving your thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you that you were always true and just in your judgments. However you want to say that, start thanking him that he is a just God. And that'll push you towards the mercy and the humility. And then you'll become before the throne in boldness, not in boldness of your own, but in boldness in Jesus Christ, what he has done. Let's stand. Father, as we read this story, we see injustice everywhere in this story. From the top to the bottom in every piece, it seems so wrong to us, it stirs us. God, let that stir us. Let us recognize that's us. As we sacrifice others, maybe the time with our children so we can have another car. Whatever it is, God, help us to recognize that your justice demands perfection of us. And the only way we receive that is through the cross of our Christ. Lord, I cannot in any way thank you enough that you are just, you are merciful, and you are my Savior. Father, today, is particularly as we go home and think about our day, help us, O Lord, to remember that you are a just God. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.